when I come here now, I am a passionate about Gloucester, but I watch them run out and I watch them run back. And I've tried now not to be too disappointed if we lose, or too elated if we win. Do you know, I saw a couple of losses last couple of games, and then suddenly we won a game. That ridiculous game where the Saracens, where we thought we'd lost, but we won. And then I realised how much it still means to me, because I walked into the box and I thought, yes! So I still follow it, and I still take that interest in it.
How long have you had your own box here?
Well, when they first made those ones on the end of the tump, I had one there. And when these ones were built, I asked to transfer that.
Right at the start.
We rested with it straight away. Do you know the some games you haven't got? You're not always got people that you can bring to it. But then again, there's the European game. Everybody wants to go. The only problem is they all find out you've got it. If you don't invite them for the good game, it might work against you in business terms. But it's a nice thing to have, and it's real Gloucester. When you sit down, it's not Buckingham Palace catering. What we do is sit down and we have a jar with them, and we have a chat, and we have something to eat. And they get what they think they're going to get. And then they sit there and watch Gloucester play. And that's it. That's what they get. Yeah.
So you get to see most of the game still?
No, I come down. I come down probably once or twice a month. I'm not here all the time. I'm still in the middle of business, and I've got the World Cup to do now under my business interest. The 2019. We've got that one. I'm very much involved with the Barbarians and all their games and the touring team. So I am quite busy still with it.
What employment did you have when you were playing?
Mate, I was a peasant. I left Long 11 secondary on school without any exam. I failed the 11 plus. And I did all sorts of sales things. I sold electrical appliances and shit. And they were wonderful experiences, they were, because, you know, you start immediately dealing in amounts of money. And it's small now, but it was £26 for a vacuum cleaner. You won't get one now for that. But, you know, I learned how to deal with people and to be not... And you don't always make a sale, you know, it was wrong. But what happened when I got dealing with Gloucester, I settled down here and I got a great job with a chap called Dave Pegler, used to work for us, and he got me a job with an oil company. It was BP Products. I won't say who they were in case this, I don't know whether they're in business or not, but they were based up in Worcester, and I used to cover the Gloucester area. And the chap in Wales was Clive Rowland, used to work for it was Shell Mex BP then or something. And so he was the Shell chap. And I remember talking to him and asking him about how he did. He said, well, you go around the farms. He said, you know, and told me how he did it and all that. And then, of course, he was a great door opener. I'd go and talk to farmers and I'd say how are things. And they said, oh, what about that fullback? He's not very, you know, they talk about rugby and all that. And then I'd kick the barrel and say, well, yes, he's half empty. And one bloke said to me one day, he said, hey, you look the Gloucester back? He said, oh, he's half full. No bugger off. It So I didn't tell him any of that. But it was a great job because I could go around and do all the calls, and I used to train in the mornings then. Yeah. I could do, and that's why I was doing that England training. I was, I would say a professional because you're doing it on your own. But the physical work I could do.
During your career, I think it's fair to say that people tended to regard you as something of an entertainer in the team as well.
We had a lot of characters though. We had a lot of different sort of characters, and there was a great humour on any. You know, they say now it's not the same as when we played. Yeah. Of course, there's lads now on the bus that have a different sort of jokes, and a lot of it's done in social media now. Yeah. What ours was like face to face or whatever. You know, you'd be on the bus and there'd be a joke from six rows back and another one from four rows in front of you, sort of thing. So.
Who were the jokers in your time?
All of Mickey Booth. Mickey Booth could be the funniest man in the world. And then you get the dry humour of Dick Smith. You know, when Dave Owen was a number eight and he'd say something just once every month and you'd kill yourself laughing with it. Digger, of course, all the time. The main committee man. He'd be in stitches listening to what he had, the stories he used to tell us. Yeah. But I think that happens in all teams. I think there's all sorts of characters, even the professional ones. They laugh in different ways. But we had lots of time to laugh, and we always sung. We always had great nights out singing. People now say, oh, that's a joke. We don't really. No, but that was a great night. That was some of the things we used to do.
And I suppose an important part of that was the end of season tour.
We used to go down to Cornwall every time to Cornwall, nowhere anywhere else. We used to have a trip over to Bective Rangers to play Ireland in Dublin. That was another one, but that was they were great fun. They were because you for that weekend, and you know, I remember my wife just said to me, well, listen, you're going to Dublin now. That's another guy. I said, ah, but we've got to go. We can't let anybody down. We've got to take the best team and all that. And we used to go, and we got away with it somehow. And it was like we'd play the game on a Friday, and then we'd say, right, well, we're on the Guinness then. Which is lovely stuff for a weekend. I don't think you can take too much more of it, but it was they were wonderful social times there.
Yeah. Well, I gather the club tour to the USA in, I think it was in 77, wasn't it?
That was a major one. Yeah, that was a major one. But yeah. The normal tours we went on, I forgot, in 77, I went on that. Yeah. But it was great because we went there. It was formative rugby for them. The only sad thing is they haven't really come on anymore, the Americans. Mm. I don't think they're very big and very aggressive, but they didn't know anything about rugby, and we were playing development teams wherever we went. There's no question of losing a game.
Yeah.
But it was, again, it was any touring team there was always a lot of fun.
Before we finish, John, have you got anything you wanted to pick up?
I think you've covered just about all my list of questions, really. There was one thing we didn't ask you, of course, and that was about the most formidable prop opponents, I think.
Shirley.
I thought you were going to say Gerard Shirley, because I remember in the book you mentioned him.
Yeah, Shirley was, technically, he wasn't as good as Irasibel or Ray McLaughlin, who the other two were props. Nick Bazenel, the Springbok, was a great prop. But Shirley would be in the wrong position and still take a step forward. You think, right, what am I going to do now? You know, it's all on a split second. Mm. Otherwise, you're on the television, man. You're going back at a rate of knot. You've got to hang on. And he also he was a real hard man. He's
very big too.
Well, massive.
Yeah,
I see him now. He's the president of the Castor. He's 30 stone. Mm. I don't want one of them, mate. You know, but he's a brilliant, great prop.
Yeah. What do you think we've missed out, Mike?
Mate, you've been very comprehensive, haven't you? I